Okay, so now we are recording. So hi guys again, welcome in our weekly Aries JavaScript call. And I will share the screen. We have kind of a lot of topics for today. Surprisingly, after weeks and weeks with empty agenda.
Yeah, I thought let's make it a big agenda today. So we probably won't get to all of them, but we can move them forward and we're fine for a while.
Okay, share my screen.
By the way, I don't know if you know it, but you can, it's a setting to prevent Zoom from going full screen when somebody shares a screen, which...
Yeah, really? Is it possible?
Made my life a lot better because that annoyed me.
Yeah, me too, actually. You need to always turn it off when someone change the sharing.
Exactly.
Yeah, nice user experience. Okay, cool. So yeah, I need to, I will look at it, the settings. Maybe I will write you a message afterwards if I am not able to change it. Okay, so you should see my screen with Aries Framework JS meeting notes.
Yes, sir.
Cool. So yeah, just need to mention there is some antitrust policy in here. So please read it, study it, remember it, and you know, count on it.
Dream it.
Yeah. And yeah, I think we can start. So I changed the order of these issues because I think like this is actually my topic, kind of. So I can start with that and do some updates. So actually, I implemented acknowledge message. So the protocol now contains all steps except for proposal request. And so the process still starts with the credential offer. And maybe I can show in here what's still missing. Actually, I suggested that after merging that PR, we should close this. But Timo, you mentioned that it would be good to have this validation. So I think...
To close and then we can create, because otherwise we will have this issue what will be open forever. We can just smaller issues to capture the rest. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I will take that issue created, put it in here, and also I will create a issue for these threads I mentioned in that pull request. And I think we can also create issue for this one. And close this one. Okay, that would be great. Yeah, so that's update about this issue credential. I created another pull request, so we can look at it briefly. I saw some comments from you, Timo, so
it was mainly one comment about the options parameter being optional, so you don't have to pass in an empty object.
And actually, I assumed this question, and I was like thinking about it. Okay, I see. Timo actually will complain about that, so maybe I should address it immediately. And so I thought a little bit about that, and you know, I realized that. Because I see your concern, but if we do this optional, we would need to add some if statement for every, you know, inside every method.
No, we can use the optional chaining parameter. Like when you do the options and then a question mark and then a dot and then comment, then it will only use that value if options is defined.
Okay, so it would be like something like that, or is it dot
like
in
a,
here?
No, it's a single question mark and then a dot.
Like that. Ah, okay, yeah. I see.
And then you can do const comment is, I don't know how it works with object destructuring, this way.
So what does this do again?
This checks if options is defined, and if it is defined, it will look for the comment property. But if options is not defined, it will make comment undefined, which basically you don't have to do if options is not equal to undefined. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Sugar syntax. Yeah. Other way how to achieve this would be the old.
Of course.
Good old operators like this.
Yeah, but in this case, if options is undefined, it will be false.
No.
Right? No. That's correct.
No, it will work.
Yeah.
Because it won't go through.
It's options. You return this one. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, this actually better. This is better.
Sexy. Because,
yeah, this is way better if you have more properties like that. Because imagine you have something like this.
Yeah.
okay. Maybe. We are not able to use the structuring in this case, but yeah, I think it's okay, I guess.
Are we not? No. That's too bad, I think. Yeah, but I really don't like that you have to pass in an empty object of options if you don't have any options. Like options should be optional in this case. Okay. So I would rather have this than the empty object. But that's my preference. So if you're against it, then I'm also.
You can make a default, right?
Yeah, but you don't want a default. Or you make a default empty, you mean?
Yeah.
Like this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
That's.
So, yeah, and like this. And what about.
That's not needed then.
No,
because it's
that's the same, I think.
Ah, yeah, I see. Okay.
Or, it's not the same because otherwise it would be undefined.
Yeah, it's not the same. But yeah, that's a good point. And now we can do this one.
Yep.
Nice.
Great.
Bang.
Okay. So, yeah, I just wanted to ask you, Timo, if you really don't like that, or really, really, really don't like that, or really, really, really don't like that.
However,
but I like this approach. Kareem said today.
So according to the number of really, I would decide. But okay.
Are we sure this will work though? Because if options has no comment key now, the destruction will fail, right?
No, because comment will be try to get a property from an object that's not defined, it will be undefined. So comment will be undefined.
Yeah.
That's not the problem. Dot syntax does that.
Yes. If we need this comment like to be defined, we would need to add another check for that. That's right. But yeah, this is nice. This is nice. I like this. I think this is the best option from all of these.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah, so great. I will update it. I will update it this one. So it should be few minutes just. So that's not a problem. Yeah, so yeah, and I think maybe if I look into what was there actually, just to be sure. Yeah, here it is. This is related to the threading and beginning with the credential and also these validations. I have one more point to this. And I was thinking if you look in here, I just revert it back. I don't have so much error handling in almost any of these methods. So that's one more thing I would like to go through. Maybe I will take it during that state transition validations. I'm not sure about that. So that's something what's still missing. And related to that, credential review. Preview. No, I'm looking for here. Preview. Yeah, credential preview. I was thinking, shouldn't we validate if credential preview contains the same attributes as incoming credential values?
I think how it works in Indie is that's why you need to do a credential offer, then a credential request, and then issue credential, is that they need to be the same, and otherwise you can't create the credential. So I think, yeah, you would need to make a step to accept if the credentials in the credential offer are valid. And then you need to make a request with the same values. I think Indie does the validation for you.
Okay. Yeah, but I don't think it takes... but Indie doesn't know anything about credential preview. Because this is part of the message. And you are passing into the offer itself. It's just part of this message. And that part of the message, like that attachment only goes into the Indie method. So...
But when you create a credential offer, you need to call an Indie library function, right?
Yes, yes.
And yeah, I think it stores the offer in there. But then you should check if the offer matches the preview, you mean?
Yeah, preview. Because of course you create an offer, there is something in your wallet based on that, you know, some but you go in there, and that offer is not that offer message, it's an offer attachment, you know, offer message attachment. And then when you creating that credential request, I think you also take I guess that offer, or you use that offer for I don't know if it's creating credential request or if it's creating, yeah, it's here actually also. So you need, this is connected, but what's not connected is that credential preview. You know, credential preview is just, but because I think this is something you should display to, maybe it's not, because
I think you need to, but you pass both the credential offer and the credential values, which are based on the credential preview, into the credential, and won't Indie complain if they're not the same?
Yeah, I see.
But we can look at how, for example, errorsframework.net does it. I think if we need to do it, they will do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this is not part of the protocol. So if issuer decides, you know, issuer send me credential offer with name and age. And then I accept that offer. And so there will be name and age in credential preview also. And it doesn't have to be. So let me start again. Issuer creates credential offer with values name, age, and income, but puts just name and age into credential preview. And because what we are showing to the user is, that's my assumption, that's a credential preview. I show credential preview to the user, and then when issuer creates credential, he can take credential offer with name, age, and income, but he doesn't have to do this validation if it's not, you know, the framework, if it's other implementation. So they can, but maybe that assumption that we are showing, because I like kind of this attribute in the credential offer, because you don't have to go, if you know the structure of the in the you know, in the object, it's kind of not so simple to work with. So if you want some values from the credential, for example, or credential offer, you need to parse that attachment, you know, and then there is maybe some also strings which you need to parse and then get values, and then maybe you need to, you know, parse it or transform it into some more readable way to show it at this on the screen for the user. So I like the credential preview. That you can credential preview is really nice structure with just, you know, credential name name, attribute name and attribute, I don't know, maybe it's just the name and that's all. So you can show it to the user, and then I was thinking what's actually the goal or the problem in here is that we don't store the credential itself. We don't store it to the credential record. So that's kind of the related to that other another topic, which is like credential ID and credential record, a credential record ID. But we store just credential ID of this. And but we can store. I think this is good. Like credential record doesn't need to contain the credential itself, credential data itself. Maybe it's better from the security perspective. So I thought that it would be nice to keep it outside the credential record and just put credential preview from the offer to that credential record, and then you can display it to the user. But that user doesn't need actually work with the credential itself eventually. But maybe the developer would like to work with that. But maybe
I think we don't have to do it. I mean, you always never need the actual credential because that's always handled by in the.
Yeah, exactly. So that would be nice that, you know, credential record just can contain what does it contain, you know, that offer. Yeah, and messages. I forget about messages. Put more messages in here, request message, not just credential request. So you have just credential ID in here, and that's the identity in the wallet credential ID, if I call it in that way. So, and you don't actually need it. It's credential itself. You need it just when you are reacting on some proof request. So then of course there will be some logic, you know, in some credential service that which takes credential from the wallet by credential ID. But as you said, I don't see use case, like necessary use case right now for having the credential itself and working with the credential itself in some way. So that's what kind of my, you know, my question is that maybe we should somehow validate this, but your point was good that we actually do this. We actually do this by taking values, credential values from this credential preview and putting it in here. Ah, okay, but this is the issuer side. So maybe we should do it in here also, you know, because you get as holder, you get the credential in here. And now maybe you should check whether the values in that credential are actually the same which you get inside credential preview.
But I think Indy also does that, because in Indy you have a function, I think, that process the offer and you create a request from it, and then there's already some cryptographic binding, so the issuer can't change the values anymore before doing the round trip again of offering and requesting. because that also has to do, I think, with the master secret and that kind of thing for the credential linking. So I think if the issuer suddenly decides to change the credentials, that's that change the credentials issuing, I think that's not possible with first the holder requesting that specific credential.
Yeah, but that would be right only if you assume that you don't use credential preview to show it to the user, but you show you would need to take credential offer values and parse it. And that would be something you would show to the user.
Yeah.
So that could be option, but then I don't see so much benefit for credential preview there. You know, because that then it doesn't make sense. Why would you use credential preview? Because you would need to parse this credential offer anyway. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe let's say that we parse the credential offer and select values from that and show the user this data. And maybe we can do this validation against, take these values, validate them against the credential preview. And then we can be sure that credential preview is the same as credential offer. And because secures this link between offer and credential, we can be sure that everything is like linked together. But then still, yeah, that credential preview is kind of like not so, if it's not part of that whole flow, it's we can do it in our side, but you know that I trust a little bit less to this credential preview attribute then. So I don't know.
I think we should do the validation and maybe also check, because I think you do the approach with convert values. I think ErisFramework.net does the same. Maybe look what they are doing, because they probably ran into the same issue.
Yeah, I think I took the inspiration from them actually. So yeah, I needed to know how it's. Yeah, that's. I asked you actually about this encoding. So that's that. So I took the idea from them. So they are doing that. I think. Yeah. Okay. That's a good point. I will look what they are doing. But yeah, we'll see. I'm curious if they do this validation step somewhere. Yeah. Okay. So we'll see. I think we don't solve it right now. But at least you know what I was thinking about and what would be necessary to address at least somehow. In the framework. Okay, so should we move to another topic? I think we spent some quiet time on this, but yeah, that's related to credential protocol. Actually, as we discussed, there is some progress with present proof protocol. So Ankita created some pull requests, nice pull requests. So yeah, I'm looking forward to look at this. I saw some details there, but yeah, we can address it. I think we can address it directly in here in this pull request afterwards. We don't need to go to that right now. Okay. Yeah, so yeah, did you change anything? Okay. okay. What about this one? I think, I just want to say that for me, I would like to return back more into this topic, because for me it's kind of more and more important right now. Because if I'm able to make it work or make it work on with React Native, I would be able to spend more time, like from my day-to-day job also.
Otherwise,
it would be harder for me.
Yeah, I think that would be great. I spent some time on it this week because the Arham, I think he's called, he's also working on integrated with it. And I've made some progress in the sense that it's working on Android, but I run into an issue where let's say if I start an agent with a wallet ID and key that already exists, it will throw a wallet already exists error. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. However, we catch that error, it's okay, because we will, if it's already exists, we want to open the wallet.
Yeah.
When doing that in Node.js, it's okay. When doing that in with Arn in the SDK, mm-hmm. it will throw I will get the red screen in React Native and it will throw an unrecoverable error. If I then change the wallet ID and the pool names and all that, that's just unique for this run, it will get along further and get stuck on provisioning by getting a record that doesn't exist, which also would be fine. So that's where I'm stuck now. And I don't know, I think that's maybe something with Arn in the SDK, that the way we throw errors, or maybe you know more about that.
I think so. When I did this in iOS with Objective-C directly, it basically in the always throws an error and it has a success code. I don't know, 0, I think, if the wallet is opened. So that should be handled the same way, success and not success, I mean. So I am assuming that is an Arn in the SDK thing.
Yeah, but that we should find a way to not have that, because I mean, if I call the function and it throws an error, it should throw an error on the JavaScript side that we can catch, but we should just be able to move on from exceptions.
Yeah, I see. So let me just quick check. It's weird. It's weird because we do it in here. You know, we can see that if there is some exception, we reject the promise. So I'm not sure if there is, but yeah, the exception should be general enough to catch everything what should be. Not everything, but of course, whatever is thrown from this, I think this should be catched by this type of exception.
Yeah, I also don't know why it's happening. It's weird.
Okay, maybe if you can just share with me that red screen, if there is anything there, I don't know. What was the message there? Or
yeah, I can. I can show you quickly. If I can share my screen.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I can create a screenshot and share it with you. Let me see. Okay, you see my screen now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's start the agency. And it's basically exactly the same as I've pushed to that repo. Mm-hmm. All right. Logs. Then if I run agent set. Well, of course, it's not throwing the error right now, because that would be crazy. Let me see. Yeah, of course. Agent. Possible. Yeah, no, it should. Maybe it's just slow because.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's. Because my host changed, that's I think the problem. That should okay. be it. Because, the bundle. Agent set. Wallet item not found exception, and that's in the provision step of the init. Let's say I use a non-unique wallet name, just like mm-hmm. wallet 10 multiple times, it will get stuck on wallet already exists error, which we don't have when we are directly using it in Node.js, like wallet exists exception.
But that's normal, right?
Yeah, but we catch it in error stream with JavaScript, and we just like, okay, if it already exists, we're just going to open it. And it should also do that here, but here it throws this error. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't happen because we catch the error.
Okay.
That is weird indeed.
Right? I think at least it should happen.
Then, I mean, we should assume that it's not an RN in the SDK thing, right? But an Erasmus Framework JavaScript thing, because that's a level above. No,
because it does work when we use in the SDK for Node.js. I think it's throwing something on the native side, which we can't recover from, or I actually don't know what it is, but the flow is different from using it in Node.js. There we can catch the wallet exists exception.
And if you check the logs, the Android logs?
We get it. It's not of much help.
Mm.
That's
interesting.
Because for your cream cake, here we have an init function. And there we call wallet init. And the wallet init, I think that's.
So you are calling create wallet, right?
Well, he just disconnected apparently.
Okay.
He'll be back shortly. It's like it's screen all of a sudden.
I think his battery may have went down.
Ah, yeah, he had low battery this room, yeah.
Ah, okay.
I noticed that too.
Ah, okay. Yeah, but so.
I didn't see a try catch though, Let me see. I can find it myself.
Maybe yep. I think where is the error? Where is the problem? But just first, my first hunch is there is a change in error object we get from Indy. Indy name.
He is back. Hello? Back again.
Hello.
Native without charge is not a good plan.
Especially Zoom is killer.
All right.
Oh yeah, create wallet.
Yeah, if we do create wallet, as you can see, we catch the error and we...
I see.
The name is wallet already exists error.
Yes.
Can it be that...
Yeah. Oh, there you go. This is a wallet exists exception.
Yes.
That's so a problem.
That's maybe that's not the but code and message. Yeah, the problem is that the object is totally different, I would say.
Yeah,
it because have you know, name. Yeah, and that's the problem. And because I was struggling with that a little bit because even these error within one version of Indie SDK are different a little bit. If you look into other, I think maybe it's even in the framework you can spot that the error handling is somewhere maybe a little bit different. You know that you don't have the same error object all the time with you know in the name and in the yeah in the name in this case. But I think that.
But is the code the same?
Could
just do it on the code, right?
Code should be the same.
Yeah, I think what we should do then is eventually we should create custom errors in errors framework JavaScript to deal with that inconsistency, and we should also make the iOS and Android wrappers return the exceptions, or we can do that on the JavaScript side of Arne Indie SDK. But I think it would be best to make them the same as the Node.js version.
Yeah, I would do the second step is more important, I think.
Yeah.
You know, then the creating. I'm sure that we would need to create some custom Aries framework errors. That will be also an option in the future. But I think to solve this issue, it would be the best option. It would be to update Arne in the SDK to return the same error object as in a node in the SDK does.
Because I think we're really getting them somewhere, because it can already create a wallet, open a wallet, it can connect to the ledger. So if we can fix this, I think we can get past the provision of the initialization step.
Mm-hmm. I think code. Okay, I think I'm not sure. Yeah, I think if we change somehow the line 81 in that RN in the SDK Android in the SDK module Java file. If you can show it.
In the SDK?
Android.
Yeah.
And module. Yeah, module.
This one.
Yes. So.
This.
Yeah, you would need to. You know, I'm not sure what the signature of reject method exactly. But I hope we should be able to update this reject call appropriately.
Yeah, so this one would need to be...
Yeah, it's here. It's actually here. Yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah, I have this nice class in here. That's cool. Yeah, that's cool.
So we just need to modify this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It should work. This should work. So...
Okay, cool. Easy fix. I will create an issue.
Yeah, of course.
We discussed and input the image. Cool. At least we got that figured out. Yeah.
Okay, great. So let me check agenda. Yeah, that's the update, React Native. We discussed that. I actually tried to run it with iOS But yeah, got some issue with linking still. So we'll see.
Yeah. If you also have iOS, could be great.
Yeah. So I can actually before I share the screen, the last point is types in the SDK. So, Timo, do you want to?
Yeah, I can. I started a. Well, let me share my screen again.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, I started work on. I cloned the definitely type repo. Started edit with their the CLI to a new package. And I've added the types and I tested it by adding it to the test harness as an alias with the add types in the node modules. And it's working perfectly. Only thing this does change is that now in Aeros Framework JavaScript, all the indie SDK types are global. We now have to explicitly import them. Which is not that big of a problem for now, but eventually we don't want to import things from in the SDK everywhere. Like for example, these types now need to be imported. I think for now, my suggestion was to do that, and then we can change it over time to see where we can make custom types or whatnot. And I also thought by adding it to definitely typed, I mean, we discussed to, we could also add it to the indie SDK repo because indie SDK is not actively released. It would mean if we want to make changes to the type definition, we would need to release a new version of indie SDK. And by adding it to definitely type and making ourselves owners, we can do it completely by ourselves. And once we merge it into definitely typed, it will be released within a few minutes. So at least for now, I thought this would be a good approach.
So, okay, so first thing that we need to add this, let's start with that import, because I'm thinking how it would work. What's the solution to don't have such dependency? That's the first question. My second question is it really a problem to have this dependency in there?
In where?
In like importing it everywhere in the framework.
Oh, no, that's not the problem. I mean is we now have a generic wallet interface and then an indie wallet implementation, but the generic wallet interface depends on type from indie SDK. For example, the ver key of the DID type, which is basically a string, is now in the indie SDK. And we can alias it, but it should just, it's just, I think, a convenience thing. So you don't have to, but that's future. It's something for the future, I think.
And so, but won't be that problem with React Native, that import?
Well, yeah, but what I thought is as, if we already have this one, it will be a little bit more work, but I would say that we make a separate type definition for our indie SDK, which is almost the same as this one. Yeah. And then we don't have to reference node types, which can be, I've had it with more packages that use React Native things that are some node types are available in React Native, but not everything. Then you get type conflicts and all that kind of thing. So then we don't reference node and we use, then we just need to reference the add type slash React Native for the buffer type, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And there's no way to do that in one package.
Well, no, because we would need to have an add type slash rn in the SDK to type in the SDK. Except if we choose to one approach that more packages take, that if you have an API in Node.js and you make it available in React Native, mm-hmm. What you do is you alias it. So it has exactly the same API. Then mm-hmm. in React Native, you will still import from in the SDK, but in the React Native config file, you say, okay, everywhere I'm using in the SDK, use rn in the SDK.
Yeah, I see.
And then we can use the same type definitions. That's also a possibility.
We can use the same or not?
Yeah, we can. We can.
Yeah, because we'll
just see it as in the SDK. Yeah. But under the hood, you're actually using rn in the SDK. But well, it has the same API.
It's a lot more maintainable, right? That way, instead of keeping two code bases.
Yeah. I think then you wouldn't have to change your imports to rn in the SDK when using React Native. You will just do that as an alias. I think that's maybe a better approach.
It is a bit more fake, maybe, in setup.
Yeah.
But yeah. Setup is not super smooth anyway at this point. So
no, and it's an approach taken by more mm-hmm. React Native packages that try to recreate an API available somewhere else.
Okay, so I still understand that. Aliasing to I see that we have in the SDK imported, then we alias this to rn in the SDK, but rn in the SDK wouldn't contain any types because the types are defined in definitely type in the SDK. You know, I don't see so Would we need to have two definition files or just one?
That depends on the method we use. Mm-hmm. I mentioned two methods we can use. The one is we have one type definition that's in the SDK, and in your code, even when you're using React Native, you will use in the SDK as an import, and in the React Native config file, you have the like in a Metro config file, you can specify a mapping. So you say whenever I request in the SDK, use rn in the SDK.
Okay.
Then we will only need one definition file. If you want to go the approach where we import rn in the SDK in the code when using React Native,
mm-hmm.
We will need to create a separate type definition at types slash rn in the SDK.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's the decision we need to make.
The only thing that might be confusing, I think, is that you need to that although you're using, because that's also what you mentioned, right? Then if you do that aliasing, or that mapping, then you also don't import rn in the SDK, but you import in the SDK and it will map that to rn in the SDK, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can imagine that might be a little confusing because you npm install rn in the SDK and then you have to import in the SDK, which is a bit weird.
Yeah, but on the other side, it's also straightforward because that would mean if I have some code that's not related to the React components, but just like the agent init file.
This file you could copy it.
Could be used in Node.js and React Native, except for now change. I have to import rn in the SDK, which means I can't use it in Node.js anymore. If we do the alias, we can use this in both.
But And the other side, I mean, I have this wrong, so please correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, basically you only have to do once with this import, right? You just, when you use the framework, you import it, you throw it in the framework, and the framework handles the rest.
Yeah. But
so whatever it's not.
In the SDK is not tied to Erwin's framework JavaScript. Erwin's framework JavaScript. So we should also look at, okay, what if someone is using in the SDK without Erwin's framework JavaScript?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But I will create an issue, create a detailed description of both approaches and what it will mean when somebody is using RN in the SDK in the framework, and then we can read that, and it will be a bit more clear what the pros and the cons are of each approach.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, I need to look at this because you know this typing is, you know, I still don't understand it, how it works actually, and so I need to look more into that.
Okay. Great.
Okay. And the second option was second question was about you said something. We need to maintain our own version and then merge it into definitive type, or I didn't understand that.
No, what I mean is we could add it to in the SDK the types and package it with the in the SDK when you install it, but that has the downside that you will need to have it installed for also when you want to use RN in the SDK because you need the types, and then we're very limited. Yeah. But when we use definitely type and we add ourselves as the maintainers, first time the definitely type team needs to accept our new contribution for this package, but then we can create pull requests ourselves and maintain them as long as they're only changes to the in the SDK directory.
Yeah, I see. You mean like you are not able to approve this like pull request and merge it or merge anything until they approve it for the first time?
Yeah, the first time, and that's because at the top, I don't know if you saw it, but I added our two names to the list of definitions by, and that means once it's first, we can approve changes to this directory.
Ah, I see. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's good actually, and yeah, that option with definitely types is definitely better than to have it. In the SDK, so
So I'll work it out and try to add, because I need to add tests before they will accept it, and then we can but make a decision next week.
Just out of interest, in the long run, like the only reason this is a better approach than doing it directly in the SDK is because of that the rights to maintain, right? In the long run, that would be
preferable option. If we include the types in both RN in the SDK and in the SDK for Node.js, because that's just easier. You don't have to install an extra type package. But
exactly, as
we don't control the release cycle of in the SDK, that's not favorable.
Yeah, no, then I understand it. Thank you.
Yeah, that's right, and it's actually recommended for the code bases without like not written in TypeScript. It's recommended to add these types into definitive type repository. Yeah. Okay, cool. So yeah, I think we are running out of time. Yeah, I wanted to do this step with testing, but if you guys need to go, we can end it, and I will record it separately. Or
I can we can do it now. from my from my side.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, so, or maybe I will record it separately, I guess. Yeah, I will record it separately because it's an hour right now, so maybe it would be better, you know, to add another video, like 5 minutes video, about the testing approach, and yeah, that would be better, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, I think that's all for today, and yeah, we have a lot of for the next time. So thank you, Timo.
Yeah, I will. We can just move them to next week. That's okay.
Yeah, yeah, great. Okay, so yeah, that's all, and have a nice weekend, and see you next week.
You too. Bye bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
Cheers.